Talking about unconditional love, and this morning I really want to talk about love that is unconditional love, not just radical love, but a part of radical love, unconditional love. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we open your word this morning, Lord, as we look at radical love, Lord, but particularly unconditional love, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you are that Father, Lord, that runs to us. Lord, despite our brokenness, Lord, and trampling everything that you've given us, but Lord, that then you call us, Lord, we're able to come to you, Lord, and you run to us with open arms. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we talk about unconditional love, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we sit here, Lord, under the grace and under the amazing love that you have for us, Lord, that your love is for us. And Lord, we just pray that you speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's such a wonderful, powerful picture of God's amazing love for us. We had a son that went to his father, humiliated his father, demanding his inheritance. The guy wasn't even dead, says, "No, give me my inheritance now." Demanded that, took that, went, squandered that, squandered it with prostitutes and wild living, lost everything, became destitute. You saw him in the pigsty and finally comes to his senses. But then you see the heart of the father, and that's really what I want to concentrate, that unconditional love. Despite what the son had done to him, despite the way that had treated him and humiliated him in front of the whole community, his heart was still there for them, and he always held on to that hope, always had that love, and freely forgave his son. A wonderful, beautiful story of unconditional love. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's a really part of radical love, is unconditional love. And it's my prayer that all of us will learn to love unconditionally, even as our Father in heaven. Despite what we've done, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you've mistreated him, and maybe you've walked away, or treated him lightly, treated him with contempt. God's heart is for us, and he loves us, and he just runs to us. We come to him, he just comes running and puts his love and his grace upon us. But I want to talk about unconditional love and how we can walk in that. We know our scriptures about living a life of love, Ephesians 5:2, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as that fragrant offering, that sacrifice to God. And we want to live that life of love, that we have that unconditional kind of love, even as God has for each and every one of us. That he's freely demonstrated on the cross, that when Jesus died on the cross for us, he said, "Look, you guys, none of us deserved it, but he loved us completely, totally, unconditionally." And I want us to grab a hold of that. If we as believers can understand God's unconditional love, it will change the way that we think. It will change the way that we live and change us in our whole life and everything that we do. I just want to, the kind of love that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 13:7, really what we're talking about when we talk about unconditional love, it's the no matter what kind of love. No matter what, whatever happens, no matter what, I'm going to love. That's unconditional love. And really that is the love that God has for us, no matter what. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, in the first part of verse 8, it says, "It always protects," it's talking about love, "always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." There's a lot of always in there when we talk about love. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It's an always kind of love. That's the love that no matter what, it's there always. Not love that it's there 1 minute and it's turned off. It's not an off and on and off and on and feeling good today, so it's on. Not so on a good day, so it's off today. It's an always kind of love. No matter what, it's not switched on and switched off. It's an unconditional love. And that's the kind of love which God loves us. His love for us is not conditional. I want to talk about it because a lot of us think that somehow, oh, it's got to be conditional in some way. We can't seem to accept that. But I trust that we do understand that because it'll help us love other people unconditionally and to understand that what it means. But it's an always kind of love. Always. Always is constant. Always is continuous. It never stops. It never ceases. It's always there for us. Jeremiah 31:3 puts it this way. It says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" The Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. That is a constant love. It always is there. Never stops, never ceases. It's everlasting kind of love. This unfailing kindness. It doesn't stop. "Oh, I'm going to love you until this point, but after that, sorry guys, no more love." It's a constant kind of love. And it's an unconditional love. And when we talk about an unconditional love, it means there's no conditions. No conditions at all. We want to put conditions honor, but there's no conditions. It's not when something is conditional. It says, if you do this, then this. If then, and that's how we think about it. Or if you do this, then this. But if you do that, but there's no ifs and buts when it comes to unconditional love. It's a love that never stops, never ceases. So there's no conditions attached to it. The love of God has no conditions at all attached to it. His love for us is total and complete. There's no conditions attached. There's no performance that we have to do. Nothing that we have to do to make God love us. He loves us completely, totally and unconditionally without performance. And I pray that we can learn to love in that way, that we love people not based on their performance, not based on them fulfilling. Will you meet certain conditions? If you meet the certain standard, if you reach these certain criteria, then I'm going to love you. Or if you qualify, or if you meet the performance standard. But God loves us. Even when we sin, God loves us. Tells us that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That at our lowest point, that's when he showed his love for us. And so there's no performance in that. Even when we sin, God loves us. And there's no qualifying. There's no qualifying period. There's no qualification that is needed when love is unconditional. No qualifications at all. Unconditional love. It literally means that it's unconditional love. It's love that always, irrespective, protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, always love that never fails. It's that unfailing kind of love. That's the love that God has for us. You don't have to qualify for your healing. You don't have to be good enough, holy enough, righteous enough. You don't have to be in the right place with God that God might touch your life. God's love is there. Now, salvation, we need to come to him to be saved, but God is there. But as Christians, sometimes we think that God has conditions upon us. And so that if something isn't happening, we're not getting our healing, or we don't seem to be breaking through in some area, we think, well, there's obviously something wrong with me. I'm obviously not meeting the criteria. I'm obviously not doing something right. There's obviously something wrong with me because I feel that, you know, I know God loves me, but I feel disconnected to it, and I'm obviously not good enough. I'm not worthy. I can't. We've got to break out of that mentality. God loves us totally and completely. We don't qualify for God's love. We qualify for his kingdom by the blood of Jesus Christ and coming into relationship with him and knowing the sacrifice of what Jesus did on the cross. That's how we come to the Father. That's how we come into relationship with him. But as believers, as Christians, there's no qualifications in terms of, well, if I'm good enough, when I'm holy enough, when I do enough, then I can really tap into God's love and really tap into his blessing. There's no qualification. Now, of course, the principles of God still apply. The scripture talks about sowing and reaping. Talks about where you're going to you reap and what you're going to sow. If you're not reaping, maybe then maybe you're not sowing. The principles of God, in terms of God's blessing and provision, all those things, they obviously still stand. But God's heart for us never changes. It's unfailing. It's constant, irrespective of us. It's all about him. It's not really about us. And so I want us to get a hold of the fact that God loves us with that unconditional kind of love. Where we're saying, oh, Lord, maybe I'm not good enough. Lord, maybe it's not about you. It's about him. It's about his love. It's about the nature of God. We've already said that God is love, and there's no conditions, no performance, no qualification for God's love. God's love is there. We come into relationship with him, and we come into the promise of eternal life through accepting Jesus Christ, what he did. And it's important that we personally and individually make that decision to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. But his love is there, and it's constant for us. See, as Christians, we can get caught up in that Old Testament kind of mentality and not live in the reality of the risen Christ and live in the reality of the cross. So in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7:12, this is what it says. It says, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord, your God, will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your ancestors. So if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow him, then the Lord God will keep his covenant of love with you as he's sworn to your ancestors. And a lot of us grab a hold of that as believers after Jesus Christ has died on the cross. This is before, and it was all if you. if you do this, then I will bless you. But if I don't, in fact, if you read under the law, what it said under the law, if you do this, I'm going to bless you. But if you don't, you're actually going to come under a curse. You're not going to have all the provision, the blessing, all of those things. It's all conditional about your performance, about your behavior, about your qualification, about all of those things. Certain conditions, you meet the conditions, then those blessings will be yours. If you don't meet those conditions, then I'm sorry. It's the opposite is going to come your way. And that's the Old Testament mindset. That's the Old Testament. And it was the reality under the Old Testimony, Old Testament. And so some of us grab a hold of that and thinking, well, okay, under the Old Testament, if you, then I will bless you. If you, then this. But if you don't, then all of this. And then we approach God and our relationship with him on a conditional sort of basis, because if you, then I. And so we go, well, then if you're not doing this, God, then maybe I'm not doing the if you. And then we look at ourselves and say, what's wrong with me? What have I done? Soul searching, tearing ourselves apart, Lord. What am I doing, Lord? Forgive me. Did I do something, Lord? Is there something that I'm missing, Lord? Just show me, Lord, because I don't want to miss out, whatever it is. And we get caught in this Old Testament mentality where somehow God's grace, God's love is somehow conditional on us. But it's not. We've got to break out of that Old Testament mentality. As I said, the principles of God apply in terms of sowing and reaping and all of those kind of things. But the love of God and the blessing of God that is on us comes because of the cross. It comes because of Jesus Christ. It's grace. It's freely given. It's not earned. As soon as you think that you're going to have to earn it of God and be good enough and be in the right place and whatever it is, and then God will bless me, immediately you've turned away from grace. And you've turned back into the law, legalistic mindset. If you, then I. If you, then I. And that's not what we're under as believers. We somehow think that it's conditional. Oh, look, if I'm good enough, then God's going to love me. If I'm good enough, God will bless me. It's not about us. It's actually about him. It's about him and who he is on the cross. Don't fall into that. A lot of people do a lot of soul searching, introspection, and think, oh, look, it's got to be me, and feel worthy and unholy and unloved because it doesn't seem to be happening in their life. But that's because we're working on the wrong mindset. We've got to understand the reality of the cross and the reality of Christ's love for us. That's what we've got to grab a hold of. It tells us this in Philippians 3:9. It says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And so we are fully loved and fully righteous because of the cross of Jesus Christ. We are totally qualified. You've qualified. Whatever the criteria that has been laid down under the law, whatever was required that you might come into relationship with God, that you might know the love and grace of God upon your life, that his provision, his grace, all of those things, we are qualified. Not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He qualifies us. He makes us qualified. And so we don't have to try to perform to earn his love, because his love is unconditional love. It's an always kind of love. Even when we're unfaithful, the scripture says he is faithful. And so that love is constant. It's always there for us. It really doesn't depend on us. But we always want to make it about us. Because I don't seem to have this happening, or this doesn't seem to be working, or I haven't got this healing, or I haven't got this provision, or whatever it is. And we put it about us. And as soon as we put it back off the cross and put it back on us, we step back into law and then end up into performance and thinking, oh, there's conditions here and I'm not meeting those. But it's unconditional love. It's the love that never fails. It never ceases. It's the love that always, it's the no matter what kind of love. It doesn't really depend on me. It doesn't depend on me, it depends upon him. So don't take our eyes off him. And the righteousness that we have, it comes from Christ. And our ability to walk in his love and his grace and his provision, it comes from the cross. It doesn't come from us in our lives. Bottom line is that God has always loved us. Always loved us. Even people that are trying to live under the law, God still loves them. God still has a heart for that, because Christ has fulfilled all of the requirements of the law on the cross. God has always loved us. As I said, when we were yet sinners, that's when Christ died for us. At our lowest point, at our worst point in our life, when we did not qualify, when every condition had ever been laid down under the law, all of those things, when we were the furthest away from all of that, that's when Christ died for us. And his cross is the thing that qualified us that we might walk in his love. And his love now that's upon us is an unconditional kind of love. But we don't want to believe that. We want to say, oh yeah, but surely I've got to. Well, there's a point in our lives that we obviously will walk in obedience to God. We'll walk according to his ways. But we don't do that to fulfill a condition that he will love me or that he will bless me. We walk in God's ways and we want to live a righteous life and a holy life simply out of the love relationship that we have for him, that he loves me so much. Even when I don't feel like it, Lord, even if I let him down, he still loves me constantly, continuously. And as I grab an awareness and a knowledge of this great love that he has for me, something rises within my own heart. I begin to respond in my own heart, and I want to live a life that pleases him and brings him honor and brings him glory. It's out of a relationship of love, not about meeting conditions that he might love me. But he loves me all the time, constantly, continuously, totally. And that changes the way that I live my life, the way that I want to live. And so we don't, Romans 6:1 says the question, well, so what do we say? Okay, because of the love of God, do I just do what I like and sin? And in Romans 6:1, Paul says, it says, so what do we say? Shall we keep on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We've already died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? It becomes something that we don't want to touch that because we know this love of God in my life. Some people try to live a good life or a holy life, or a righteous life, because if they think, if I make the standard, if I make the grade, then all the love of God and his blessings will be upon my life. That's nonsense. It's not right. Christ is the qualifier. What he did on the cross, he qualifies us for eternal life. He qualifies us for the inheritance that we have in eternity, but also in this life here, his love and his grace upon our lives. And so let's not get into that thing and think, well, what have I done? There's something wrong with me. And to understand God's love for us is unconditional. See, in the New Testament, it goes like this, Hebrews 8:10, it says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. I will. It's not about you will. You do this, then I will. Da, 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 da. It's not about that, but we think that. It's not. This is about God saying, I will. I'm going to love you unconditionally. That's the kind of covenantal love that we talked about a long, long time ago. It's love that is there. It's constant. It's continuous. No matter what kind of love, God loves us completely and totally, no matter what. Even if we sin, even if we fail, if we blow it in whatever way, God loves us totally, completely, and utterly. And we've got to begin then to understand that love that he has for us. And as we understand how much he loves us, then as I said, we rise and we say, Lord, I want to live a life that honors you, Lord, honors that love that you've given me. And that wonderful clip that we saw with the father, he saw the heart of the father, the grief in him, because all he really wanted was a relationship with his son. That's all he wanted. And his son squandered everything, spat in his face, took everything off him and just trampled all over everything the father had given him and the love. And yet somehow the heart of that father was still there. It was unconditional. When that son came back, he comes running and he throws his arms around him and just loves him. And that's how God is with us. The son had in his mind that he'd already worked out a little speech. Oh, Lord, I've wronged and I'm going to, I'll be one of your servants and all that. The father wasn't interested in the speech. He was interested in his son. He was interested in the heart of his son and just grabbing him and loving him. And that's God's heart for every one of us. He's just interested in us. He wants to pour his love and grace upon us. So don't allow the Old Testament mentality creep into your thinking. If them. But God loves us totally and completely. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that qualifies us for his love, for his blessing, all of the things that God has for us. It's not about if you. As I said, there are principles in God, that natural laws of the kingdom that operate. As we've got laws here, there's gravity. If I jump, I'm not going to fly up and stick to the roof. I'm going to fall down. There's gravity. And there's laws and things that apply in the kingdom, natural order of the heavenly realm, if you like, the laws of the kingdom. But they're not laws of bondage. They're just laws of cause and effect that automatically happens in the way that God has designed things. But certainly in our life, we don't have to try to earn or perform God's favour or his blessing upon us. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's what he's put in us. And God says, I will. Not you will. I will. I'm going to do this because I love you unconditionally. I love you completely, always, constantly. I will. And that's the word of the Lord for every one of us. And it's important that we grab a hold of that first of all, because if we come to try to love other people unconditionally, and somehow we think, no, sounds good, but there's obviously got to be a little catch here that, you know, I've got to get some, be good enough somehow in myself, and then God's going to love me and bless me. If we think like that, then we're going to have a real trouble loving people unconditionally. Because if we think that God is looking at our performance, he's looking to see whether we're qualifying, if we think that God is measuring us according to some sort of a performance standard, if we think that in any way, we're going to then immediately interpret that and bring that onto our relationships with other people. We will treat them the same way. And we think we love unconditionally, but deep down and subtly, there'll be little conditions that upon on our lives. And we'll love them to a point, but only to a point, and then it becomes a little conditional beyond that. Guys, you overstepped the line. And deep rooted in that is this thought that somehow God has this condition. So when I'm holy enough and good enough, one of the holy ones, one of the elect, one of the spiritual ones, then God will love me and God will bless me. It's rubbish. It's not true. God loves us, every one of us, totally and completely. And he's demonstrated that by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And so let's not live out of that mindset that when I've got to earn God's love, I've got to earn his favor. He doesn't have to prove it to us anymore. He's already given that, and we walk in that. We've got to live in that. If we can understand that and have that relationship with God, Lord, I'm just going to live my life on the basis of how much you love me, Lord, and I'm just going to allow that, the way that you love me, Lord, as you embrace me, Lord, allow that love to flow. And we will live our life according to his way, not trying to do it out of bondage and huffing and puffing and trying so hard all of the time and failing so completely and so often, but to stand in the strength and the security of his unconditional love, that he accepts us and he's always ready for us. We just have to take a little step. That prodigal son, he was there amongst the pigs and I don't know what he thought he was doing. He was obviously starving. There was a famine in the land. He'd wasted all the money that he had, a fortune, absolute fortune it was, a fortune of money, wasted it all, and living amongst the pigs, and suddenly realised he had to turn around and make a step. But God was always there. The heart of God has never changed. And God's heart is for every one of us. As soon as we just say, Lord, here I am, God's running and embraces us. And so God's love is there. It's constant for us. But how do we show unconditional love? As I said, it's important that we understand, first of all, God's unconditional love. Because if you don't grab a hold of that, then you will have conditions in your own relationships. You'll have conditions in your own relationships, and the way that you show love within your husband and wife will be conditional. With parents, with children. And I see that parents do that. They don't mean to, but there's conditional love that can come in there. And we've got to be so very careful that we make sure that our heart is unconditional. How do we do that? What actually does unconditional love look like? If I am loving unconditionally, what are the things that I need to be doing? What are the things that I know that this is what unconditional love, what does it actually look like? And we saw a great picture of unconditional love when we saw that clip. The love of that father, despite everything that had been done, he loved unconditionally. But how do we do that? What are the things that we need to? First of all, we need to understand God's love for us, unconditional love. If we understand that, then we're well on the way. But how do we outwork? What does it look like? Well, three things, and I'm going quick this morning for time, but three things are really important. The very first thing is having a forgiving heart. You cannot love unconditionally if you hold on to things. If you remember things and hold on to them, and there's resentments and little things that you carry and just ugly things, you just keep holding them and they're still there, then that's going to stop your ability to love unconditionally. Now, Peter is talking to Jesus, Matthew 18, and Peter steps out and, you know, good old Peter, he says, I'll be really good here, I'll be really spiritual. He says about, you know, how often should we forgive, Jesus? Should we forgive seven times? Good on you, Peter, being really generous. Seven times, that's pretty generous when we think about it. I mean, but a lot of us, we do have a limit. I'll forgive you once. And I think most Christians will do that. Someone does something, I'm a believer, you know, Jesus loves me, he's forgiven me, so I can forgive you. You do it again, yeah, okay, I can forgive you two, three times. Some people can be really gracious, four times, five times you've done that. You've spat in my face, five times you've done whatever you've done or didn't do what you were going to do or whatever it was. You failed, you let me down, you hurt me, you did something, but I can maybe forgive you one, two, three, four, five times, maybe six times because you're really gracious, kind of loving person. Seven times, oh, well, maybe okay. But beyond that, maybe there's a line that we draw in forgiveness. But unforgiveness is not a part of love. Unconditional love is a heart that will forgive and it will keep on forgiving. No matter what. Always kind of love. Now we think, well, that's a tall order because, you know, there's a line and there's a limit, but if we learn to love unconditionally, if we grab a hold of God's love for us, that he doesn't rule a line, because if God ruled a line, all of us wouldn't be here today. None of us would be here. Because you've done more than one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count how many things in our own life, but in all of our lives that we've done. God forgives us and keeps loving us unconditionally. So many times he does that. He just loves us. He forgives us. He's a gracious, gracious God. And he's telling us to live a life of love, even as Christ did, and how he demonstrated, how he laid his life down on the cross as that fragrant sacrifice, that offering, that fragrant offering, the sacrifice unto God. And that's the life that he wants us to live. It doesn't matter. Is it seven? Is it eight? Is it 10? Is it 20? Is it 100 times? 100 times? But we're able to do that. We're able to forgive. So if you want to unconditionally love, you've got to be forgiving. You can't hold on to anything. Can't hold on to those things. Well, look, you've done it once. Okay, I can let you go there. Did it twice. Three strikes, you're out. That's how sometimes we can think like that. The world thinks that. One, two, three strikes, you're out. Sometimes the world, one strike, you're out. But for us as believers, we've been called to live a life of no matter what, an always kind of love. An unconditional love, and that includes forgiving. We got to be forgiving. If you want to love unconditionally, you got to forgive. Doesn't matter how many times, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 times, you just keep on forgiving. You don't hold on to it in any way. That's unconditional love. The second part of it is to be very patient. And God is so patient with us. We saw the Father's heart in that clip. And he waited. He waited. He kept on waiting. He didn't give up hope. Sometimes we will give up on people. We'll think, okay, well, look, you know, can I do so much, and, you know, and look, it's obviously not going to happen. It's not working for them. I'll move on. You know, I just have to put it aside. And but if we want to love someone, unconditionally, we've got to keep loving them constantly and be patient and just be patient. God is so patient with us. I praise God that God is patient with me. He is so patient, and he's patient, and we've got to learn to be patient. Parents, just to be patient where your kids are at. Maybe your kids have turned away. Maybe some of you watching there felt, yeah, I can understand what the father feels there, because maybe you feel that a little bit with your own family. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your auntie, your uncle. Maybe it's someone that you're in relationship. And as much as you've got everything else, is it something that missing? And your heart is because you want to be in that relationship, well, then we've got to just be really patient and just keep on waiting. That's part of being of unconditional love. It's just being patient, not losing it, not saying, you know, getting all fired up and getting to a point, well, I'm going to just blow my top now, blow my stack. But no, I'm just going to be patient and I'm just going to keep on waiting. They may not be where they're supposed to be. They may not be there yet, but I'm just going to be patient because I praise God he's patient with us. He didn't wait until you were holy enough before he loved you. He didn't wait until you were right before he died upon the cross. And we've got to be patient with people, even though they're not where they're supposed to be, even though they're not anywhere near where God wants them to be, that we're just patient with them and we just love them and have that heart. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, that wonderful chapter about love, it says love is patient. It always perseveres. It never gives up. It doesn't give up. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on loved ones that maybe they're estranged to you in some way. Just forgive them and allow that just to love them and just to be patient. And even parents with children, you know, sometimes kids, they can drive you nuts. And I don't have to tell you that if your parents, that they can do that. But it's so important that even if they are, whatever they do to press whatever button you might have, is that you're just patient with them. You take a step back. And you just be patient. I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm not going to train you that if you do good, then I'm going to be good to you and I'm going to love you. But if you do something wrong, I'm going to withdraw love from you in some way. You discipline your children. They might need a whack, but you give them a hug and you tell them you love them. Always tell them, affirm them. Tell your children that you love them, parents. So important to do that. Every day, multiple times, tell your kids that you love them. Even if you had to tell them and discipline them, then as soon as you've done that, you pick them up and you love them and you tell them that you love them. Otherwise, you're teaching them conditional love. They'll think that, oh, Daddy loves me when I'm good, but when I'm not, Daddy doesn't love me. So we got to just do that. So be patient. Take a little step back and make sure that we show that unconditional love. It's so important that we do that. And part of the thing about patience is sometimes we always want to run in and rescue everyone. And that's what I appreciate about the story of the prodigal son and with the father. The father didn't send out a search party looking for his son. He didn't board the nearest camel and, you know, go looking around the desert trying to find his son, looking around everywhere. He actually stayed home and he just waited. And notice how much he loved. Sometimes we think, well, I mustn't be loving because I'm not on the camel. I'm not running around the desert trying to find the one that was lost. And maybe in our own mind we think, oh, maybe I should be doing that. Maybe there's some guilt. But there's a patience that comes, just loving completely, but just waiting. And the father in that story did that. He just waited. He trusted in God. He loved completely, but he knew that he just had to wait. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we want to run in and try to rescue everyone in our families or whatever situation. And they're lost. Off here, get the nearest camel and off I go, charging off to the rescue. And sometimes that's the worst thing to be done. If that father had to run and picked his son up at that stage, well, who knows, he might have come back and been there for another 6 months and then done the whole thing back again. Might have just enabled the whole pattern, made it happen again. But he had to wait until the right time, and just until it was the right time when his son was there. The son came to his own senses. He had to come to that point himself. And sometimes it's so hard to wait for people to come for their senses. We want to drag them along. We want to say, come on, wake up. We want to shake them. But sometimes we just have to wait. Say, come to your senses. Allow God to bring them to that point. We can't force them. We can't make them. But allow them to come to the place where they suddenly realize, oh, I'm playing with pigs here. My life is a mess. I'm in pig dung. And this is what my life is. And they have to realize that. Then they turn. And that's when our love really needs to kick in. That's when the action happens. So just be careful of that. Sometimes we think because we're not riding off into the sunset to save them that we're not loving them. We are loving them. And we're just being constant. But sometimes they have to turn to that point. So just watch that. Be patient. Sometimes it's so very hard, you know, when there's ones that are estranged from us. You just feel like I've got to do something. But sometimes to love them unconditionally is just to pray and sit back and say, Lord, just do what you got to do. Do the work you got to do. When they come, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to embrace them. But sometimes it's hard to do that, but we need to do that just to wait. The third thing and finally that we need to do is to speak the truth in love. Sometimes we think that unconditional love means that we just let people do whatever they like. They can treat us badly. They can talk to us in whatever ways. They can stomp all over us. But that's all right. I just smile and love. Well, that's not unconditional love. Love actually involves speaking the truth sometimes. It says in Ephesians 4:15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, that's a really good scripture, one of the main scriptures for us as a church about growing into the head, into Christ. That's what we're about, that we might all grow up into the head, into Christ. That's why we grow church. We want to grow up into him, into Christ, who is the head. That's what we're about, growing and grow church. But it talks about speaking the truth in love. And unconditional love necessitates us to speak the truth sometimes. And sometimes we think that, oh, look, I'm just going to let them go and it doesn't matter, they can walk all over me, they can hurt me, because I'm just loving them. But sometimes that's the worst thing as well. It's one thing not to be trying to be a rescuer, but we do have a mandate where we're told to actually speak the truth in love, to bring a loving rebuke, and sometimes that needs to happen. Sometimes we need to sit down with someone and say, look, this is how it is. And it's not based on our love for them, it's not based upon their performance. We're loving them no matter what. In fact, if we didn't love them, we wouldn't even bother sitting down talking with them in the first place. But you'll sit down and you'll talk and say, this is the situation. Do you understand what you're doing to yourself? Do you understand what you're doing to other people when you do these things? Do you understand that? Do you understand how it hurts the heart of God when you do these things? Do you understand that? And it's not because you're trying to bring them down or condemn them. It's because you love them and you know that God loves them and you want the very best for them and their heart and in their lives. And so sometimes we have to do that. We have to talk to people and we have to speak the truth in love. And that's a part of unconditional love. Some people think, by not saying anything, I'm just going to let them walk all over me. I'm going to let them badly misbehave, but I'm just loving them unconditionally. That's not unconditional love. That's an abdication of your own responsibility to put your own love in action, to say something and to help correct that behavior. And so never be afraid to do that. But whenever you speak the truth to someone, it's got to be in love. You've got to speak it in love. Don't just give them truth. Truth is true, and it's the reality, but truth without love is law, and it's, as it says, that the Spirit gives life. It's the letter, the law, it kills, and you can kill someone by telling them the truth. And so we've got to do that with a heart of love when we talk to people. But do that. Don't be afraid, parents. Don't be afraid of disciplining your kids. It's a part of unconditionally loving them. But don't let them run whatever they want to do. No, there's some boundaries that you need. And I'm putting boundaries here because I love you and I'm protecting you. You know, if the neighbours have got a big mean dog there and whatever else, you don't let your child go under there and play with the big mean dog. You wouldn't do that because it'd be an abdication of your responsibility as parents. In fact, it's negligence to allow that to happen if you just let your child wander off and do that. And the same with discipline. But the same with other times, you just need to sit down and just talk straight. But it's got to be motivated by love. If we're angry, don't do it. When there's anger, there's not a lot of love that is there. But always, if you talk to someone, make sure it's the right time that you do it. Pick your time to talk to someone. Not when you're tired or worn out, not when they're tired or worn out. If you need to sit down with someone and speak the truth in love, do it at the right time. Pick the right time to do it. Pray for wisdom. Say, Lord, this is something I know that I just can't let go, Lord. I need to speak some truth. But, Lord, I want to do it in love. As a parent, I want to discipline in love. I don't want to discipline in anger and frustration. Lord. I want to talk to someone. I want to talk to someone I need to, because I love them and I want God's best for them. Lord, show me what to say. Help me, Lord, to do that. Help me to deal with that. But don't ever think that unconditional love means just all happy smiles. And because people talk about tough love. Well, there's no such thing as tough love. There's just love. There's love, constant, continuous love, the radical love, not the world's love. They have tough love because their idea of love is a very soppy, sentimental, romantic little thing that comes and goes and wanes. And I love you today, I hate you tomorrow, and you're my best friend today, tomorrow I'm not talking to you. And the worldly rubbish, so they use this word tough love, which means I'm going to get serious and sort something out. We just have love. The love of God, that agape love, that unconditional love, that selfless love, that covenantal love, that unconditional love. And so that's important that we do that. Don't be afraid to speak the truth in love. And we need to do that at times. We need to sit down and just lovingly say, this is what's real. This is what's true. And help people to understand all of those things. So three things about showing. Be forgiving. We've got to be forgiving. As Christians, we cannot hold on to things. We've been forgiven on the cross. How can we hold on to anything when Jesus has forgiven us for everything that we've done and ever will do? Not just our past sin, but any present sin that he might do or even will do in the future. All sin has been dealt with. All sins he remembers no more. He is so gracious and forgiving. And because of that knowledge, say, Lord, I want to live that life, Lord, that honors you and pleases you, Lord. And I just love you so much. That's our heart. And we want to have that. I pray we have an understanding that God's love is not conditional, that it's not about your performance. God loves you totally, constantly, and completely. And he says, I want you to walk that kind of love. I want you to do that. And how do we do it? Then we've got to be forgiving. Don't just forgive once, twice, three times. I'm generous, four, five, I know, good. I'm just going to keep on forgiving. And I'm going to be patient with people because they're not, the reality is none of us are where probably where any of us really should be. And yet we always somehow have less patience with people that are not where we are. Maybe God wants us to be here. Now in our salvation we're here because of Christ. In eternity we're here. But in our day-to-day life we're all still learning. We all make mistakes. But sometimes we think, oh, I'm here and they're there. And so we look down and we judge people and we try to use our own self even as a yardstick sometimes. How ridiculous is that? How can we use ourselves when we know that without Christ we're nothing, we've got nothing. So my prayer is that we really learn unconditional love, that we'll learn to just to be forgiving, to be patient with one another, to be patient with people, and that we'll also learn to speak the truth in love. Don't be afraid to do that. We need to do that. That's an important part of unconditional love, is speaking the truth in love. And if we can do those three things, then we will begin to be ones that are walking in conditional love, unconditional love. And if we remember that God loves us unconditionally, that will certainly help us. And if we understand that, then we will, in all our relationships, we can love unconditionally. If we don't grab a hold of that, then we're going to think that somehow I've got to perform, that God will love me, I've got to cut the grade, I've got to make it somehow, that we're going to outwork that. And we'll start treating other people like that in our relationships. So I want us to stand this morning. I pray, first of all, that we come to the knowledge of the love of God in our lives this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, then the Lord is here for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're totally blown it in your life. And maybe you relate to that prodigal that, yeah, I just went their own way. And but the Father is here for you today. You've never given your life to Jesus. You come to him. He's just going to throw his arms around you, run to you, love you and forgive you and just be able to accept you into his kingdom. The rest of that story was as well. The Father got the Son. He took him back and said, "Here's my Son." Put a ring upon him, a signet ring of authority upon him. Put some sandals on his feet. Put a robe upon him. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a huge party to celebrate. If you know Jesus Christ, then you can come to know him and know God's love this day. But Father, I pray for every one of us that are here this morning. Father, I just thank you, first of all, that you love us unconditionally. Lord, we don't have to earn your love. And I'm so glad we don't, because Lord, none of us would be able to. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're just so patient with us, Lord, that you wait for us. And Lord, that you're just always there. You're constantly loving us, Father. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, that you're always there for us. I thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us. It's been demonstrated by the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you forgive us. Lord, help us to be forgiving, Father, even as you are of us. Lord, help us to be patient. And Lord, not try to always be a rescuer, Father, but Lord, just to be patient and Lord, just to love constantly and continuously, Father. And pray, Father, I pray that we learn to be ones that will speak the truth in love. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And Lord, as a loving Father, that you correct us and you discipline us, Lord, out of love, Lord, to show us the way. Help us, Lord, to do that, Lord, to lovingly, Lord, to speak the truth in love and not to be afraid to do that whenever we need to do that, Father. But Lord, I pray more than anything that we'll have a revelation, an understanding of your love for us, Lord. We don't have to perform. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to be a special chosen one. But Father, we just come as we are, as your child, Lord, as a son and as a daughter, and that you love us totally, completely, Lord, that no matter what kind of love, that always kind of love, Lord, that unconditional love. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, even as we close this morning, even as we sing this, Father, Lord, as we open our hearts, Lord, whatever we're singing, Lord, I pray, Lord, let us just love you through this, Lord. Let love and joy flow through our hearts, Lord. Let there be that revelation of your great love, Lord. And if anyone doesn't know you this day, Father, I pray, Lord, they'll have the courage, Lord, to realize where they are and come to you, Lord, and that you're going to come running, Lord, and pour your love upon them. Father, I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen.